If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But they say, no, you are only free theoretically. In a metaphysical sense, in the literal sense of your flesh, you will always be bound to sin, according to the doctrines of these people. And what that teaching does is it's probably an unintended consequence, because I know these ministers don't go around saying people go ahead and sin, but people take it as an unintended consequence that righteousness is unattainable and they're always going to sin, and they just ask for forgiveness and they're going to get it, and they expect to get it. I mean, that's what they're thinking. It's like, I know I'm going to sin. I'll just ask for forgiveness. But that is not... Now, God is faithful to forgive our sins, right? But he promised something better than that. And if we are not seeking that promise and receiving it in faith, we're not receiving the salvation that God has promised. You know, God has promised to deliver us from those things so that we would not be subject to the sins of the flesh anymore. We got to look for that. We got to believe in that. The preaching causes people's consciences to be seared with a hot iron. That means like to brand, to render insensitive. So they no longer become sensitive to sin. And I know this condition because I kind of felt it to a degree. There was a degree to sometimes where I was so cauterized. I was so insensitive to my sin. I just be like, hey, you know, well, what am I going to do? That's the way I am. I can't do nothing about it. And that's true. But then they believe, and God won't do anything about it. Even though you know he has the power to do something about it. Let's say, well, he's not going to force it. He wants us to try. Does he? Is that how God wants us to attain righteousness? By our own efforts so that we could glory and say, look what we've done? You don't know the God you're serving if you think that. What God wants is for us to believe him. He wants us to have faith. And to receive the righteousness which he has bought by the blood of Christ. That's what he wants. And if you think he wants you to go out there and get it yourself, you're going to be sadly mistaken on the day of judgment. You'll be standing there like, you know, Hagar with Ishmael in your arms. It's not the proper gift. It's not the promise God promised. He promised Sarah would have a child. And what's the point of that? It's they. In spite of the infirmity of her flesh, in spite of the barrenness of her flesh, God delivered on the promise he made, which was Sarah shall have a son. And the promise God's made is that Christ shall make you free. Not you will free yourself, but Christ will make you free. Not that you're going to go by the law and go according to the law, which is pointing to Hagar. You're going to go by the law and you're going to say, okay, this is what I got to do. And you're going to fulfill that all, 90%. And be a pretty good person. And then you walk into heaven and say, well, thank you for saving me, Jesus. But look what I've done in addition to that. And what he's going to say is, no, you're not acceptable to me. But you're thinking, oh, I received you in faith. No, you're not acceptable to me. What you're supposed to do is believe the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus has died for the remission of sins. And to turn us, every one of us, from our iniquities. That's lost. And the people are not receiving that in faith. Therefore, they're not receiving the gifts of righteousness and the fruits of righteousness. Lies and hypocrisy. The lies and hypocrisy. You can never be perfect. Why? Because they're not perfect. And never will be. They're hypocrites. Playing Christian. Playing under a false part. You know why? You know, and some of the things I've done, even in the teaching, sometimes I've said things. I was like, oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said, you know, get the hell out of here or something like that, right? And I think, there's my faults showing through. But I'm not going to stand here and pretend to you that I'm faultless at this point, all right? But these ministers who teach you that you can't be faultless will pretend to be faultless and get up there and act so holy. And at the same time, they will say, oh, I'm not perfect. But they never will say why or how. They'll never tell you how. I'll tell you the ways in which I'm not perfect. I, on my old website, I got the whole confession of all the things I've done. Maybe not the magnitude. You know, but my drug use was great. My sexual sins were many. My mouth, very foul. my thoughts impure. God has taken many of those things away from me, and some of them I've been changed somewhat, but not perfected. I expect that from God. I wait for the hope of righteousness. I expect that. Otherwise, if I don't receive that, then I'm not his son. I'm not in the image of Christ. If I'm not made after the image of Christ, then I'm not saved. Ultimately. Though now, even though it doesn't appear, I'm already saved because God has already purposed in his purposes from the foundation of the world that I would fulfill those things. That's how it works. Now, I can't see that. That's why Peter says, you know, make your calling and election, sure. You've got to have certain things abiding you. Add your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge. And so these are things, not that I look to fulfill by a law, but I look to them when God, I ask God in faith and he gives it to me. Those things, those promises, now testify to the righteousness which God has given me. And hey, I strive, but there's a point at which I understand that's like my striving is mostly to continue to seek it from God and not stop asking him and not stop looking to him for these things. But he has to give it. He has to make the changes and do the things to me that cause this to happen to me. Ultimately, it's his work. He drives me. Now, why did I start teaching? Because God pushed me to it. In numerous ways, you know. It's not that he sent an angel down from heaven and said, Paul, the time for you to teach is come. Amen. And then the choruses of angels singing and dun, 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 dun. You know, it's just not like that. Though, I sure appreciate that. That would be nice, right? Wouldn't that be nice? But you know what? In spite of us not getting necessarily the fanfare our vanity would desire, still God does his work. His work gets done in those who he has chosen. Okay. Now the issues here, forbidding to marry. These are just examples. Like I said, there's, you know, Paul saw certain things coming. Forbidding to marry. Oh, we never heard of that. What about the Catholic Church forbidding their priests to be married? You know what ungodliness that wrought? I don't just mean the child molesters. I don't mean that. Honestly, I think that comes from men who wrestle with sexual sins like homosexuality or something like that, right? They wrestle with these sins and they decide the way to take care of their sinful desires is by becoming a priest.